Our scripture lesson is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Likely you've heard the story of years ago, there was a shipwreck on Lake Michigan. And a very strong swimmer who was a student at Northwestern University rescued 23 people before he finally collapsed. There was a famous lecturer giving a lecture in Los Angeles, and he told that dramatic story, and then to his surprise, he was told that the person who was the subject of that story was actually in the audience. So following the lecture, the speaker eagerly went to the hero and talked to him, this young man from Northwestern University was now an old man. And he was asked, "What was the most significant thing for you about this event? After all these passing years, what stands out most in your memory?" And the old man dropped his eyes and in a low voice said, "Not one said thank you." Jesus knows the feeling. The experience of our scripture lesson is all too revealing about the lack of gratitude Jesus received and the general lack of gratitude in the human heart. Indeed, the truly thankful heart is an elusive treasure that Jesus rarely encounters. You heard the scripture story. Out of 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus, who had responded to their cries, only one came back and said thank you and praised God. 10% of those who were blessed came back and said thank you. And the scripture is very emphatic and pointed out, and he was a Samaritan. I don't think 21st century American Christians can really ever feel the intensity of this story. There is no way to adequately convey the dynamics on paper or in a message. The 10 lepers had suffered physically and emotionally in ways no human being should be subjected to. The leper was banished from society that included one's family. When a person was diagnosed with this dreaded disease, by dictate of the law, they were forced to leave their family. They were forced to leave their community. They were to stay away from any other human being except other lepers. And can you imagine getting sick from something you had no control over? May I be so brash as to say if you contracted cancer that people would try to make sure and stand upwind to you, and every time you approached another person you had to holler out, "Cancer! Cancer!" The leper had to, everybody tried to be upwind from the leper, and every time they approached another person they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Not only were they stricken with the physically debilitating, eventually death of the disease, they were completely dehumanized until they finally died. These were the people that came to Jesus. These were the people that came crying out to Jesus. And these were the people Jesus healed. It was 1 foot short, 1 step short of being raised from the dead. 10% came back to say thank you. 1 out of the 10 came back to say thank you. Why? One would think that all 10 would have been so elated that they could not contain their excitement. Although I think it's low on the possibilities, I wonder if the other 9 did not even realize they'd been healed. How often are we blessed and we can't even see it? We're blessed with health and or wealth. Perhaps even more importantly, we are blessed with family and friends who genuinely know us and they still love us. I say all the time there's a special place for preacher spouses because they live with us and they listen to us preach anyway. We're blessed with people who know us, yet they still genuinely love us. There are some people that are so blessed with the Midas touch, and I'm not just speaking materially here, but they are so blessed with talent that whatever they attempt to do, they're successful at it. We've all been blessed by Jesus in some way. And for most of us, we have been blessed in numerous ways. Yet sadly, we often fail to recognize the blessings we receive. And I think there are at least two main reasons we fail to notice the blessings the Lord grants. One is, it seems to be human to always want more. We're so busy wanting more, we fail to recognize what God has already given. And I've come to the conclusion by looking at my own life and observing human beings around me, I've come to the conclusion that gratitude has absolutely nothing to do with our wealth. It has absolutely nothing to do with our health. Gratitude is a matter of heart and attitude. I have a saying that some of my previous churches probably got tired of hearing, and you may have, but I haven't said it here in a long time. Next to our salvation, attitude is everything. I've mentioned this before, but I never will forget a lady who taught me the meaning of the life of gratitude. She was a widow. And to give you a little bit of background even further than what I had thought about, this widow lady had been left by her husband earlier for a younger model as they had started getting older. Then he got sick, and the younger model didn't want to mess with him anymore. She took him back in and nursed him till he died. So this widow lady had not always been blessed with the love of those that she had attempted to love. On top of that, she was living on minimum Social Security. Minimum Social Security. I never will forget the day that she called me to come see her. I used to see her regularly, but she called me to come see her because she tithed out of that minimal Social Security check. And when I say tithe, I'm not talking about regular giving. I'm talking about the only income she had was a minimum Social Security check, and she gave 10% of that check to the church every month. And so one day she called me and she said, "John, I need you to come pick up my tithe before something happens to it." And what she meant was not because she might spend it, but because she had some not so good family members that might use it. And so she calls me and I'm expecting, you know, and I think at that time, the minimum Social Security check was somewhere around $400. I was expecting a couple of $20 bills or maybe a check. She gave me $40 in rolled up coins because she was making sure she kept her tithe and gave it to the church. On top of not having any wealth, on top of not being loved by those who should have loved her, on top of a family that would take advantage of her, She had no health. Her heart was in such bad shape that I never should have met her. She should have died before I ever met her. And so I went to pick up what ended up being $40 in coins. She said, "John, my family gets on to me for giving to the church. They say, 'Mom, Grandma, why do you give so much to the church? You need it.'" To which she responded, and I quote, because I never will forget it as long as I have half of a mind. She said, quote, "I don't need it. God has already given me everything I need. God has been so good to me. I wish I could do more." End quote. This lady was blessed. No, she didn't have any of the things that we consider even the basics of life in many ways. And she had none of what we consider the rewards of life. Her health stank. She had no wealth. She had a sorry family. And yet she said, "The Lord has been so good to me. I wish I could do more." She was blessed with a loving and giving spirit. She was blessed with an attitude of gratitude. Her spiritual heart and her attitude of gratitude served her far more than any amount of the material accumulation or the other rewards of this life that we often so desperately seek. Many of us would be far richer and far happier if we had the heart and the attitude of this dear saint. Well, I think a second reason perhaps we don't see the blessings that God has bestowed upon us is we get so busy with the cares and affairs of day-to-day life that we don't take time to notice God's daily gifts. Amongst one of the old favorite songs of the church is "Count Your Many Blessings." It says, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." A pastor leading the music for a worship service in a leper colony on the island of Tobago told the congregation there was time for one more song and asked for a request. And there was a woman who had been sitting in the congregation, and she had had her back to the song leader the whole time. And when he said there's time for one more request, she held up a fingerless hand. And she turned around. She had no nose. She had no ears. Her lips were just about deteriorated away. And she said, "Can we sing 'Count Your Many Blessings'?" How much happier, how much healthier, how much more productive and probably easier to live with would most of us be if we developed a habit of at least daily counting God's many blessings? Now, there's another consideration of the ungrateful. Jesus, now did you notice in the passage? Jesus asked, "Where are the other nine? Were not 10 healed?" It wasn't the coming back to Jesus that healed the one man. That was, "Were not 10 healed? Where's the other nine?" Is it possible the other nine expected Jesus to heal them out of obligation? Granted, I'm speculating. But I can almost hear at least one of them saying something like, God owes me. God owes me this healing. After all, I was thrown out of my own house. I was thrown out of the city. I was thrown out of the village. I've not seen my family in years. I've had to walk around in rags. The only people I can see are other lepers. If somebody sees me coming, I have to holler out, unclean, unclean. People try to stand up with me. I didn't do anything to deserve this. God owes me. It's about time. God did it. It's about time God did something about the situation. Can we not feel the same way? Most of us are probably too societally correct. I know that's not a word. But we're too proper to say it out loud. But if we were honest in our hearts of hearts, in our private prayer closets, we have felt the same way. Jesus, I've been faithful to you all of my life. I try to live right. I've served Jesus by serving the church in every single way you can imagine. God, you owe me. God calls us to go to God in prayer. And in those prayers, God calls us to cry out with our hopes, our dreams, our cares, and our concerns. But let us keep in mind, God does not answer any prayer out of obligation. And the reality is, God does not owe any of us anything. God answers our prayers and blesses our lives out of God's gracious love. And I'll confess to you this morning, I vacillate. Some days I've got it down. Some days I've got the attitude of gratitude. And some days I'm totally self-centered and fussing at God. I vacillate. But a goal of mine is to become a person whose very being, regardless of life circumstance, as being an attitude of gratitude. Notice I said go, I'm not there. But that's where I'm striving to get to. It has been said that first we make our habits and then our habits make us. Perhaps the ramification of this statement are best personified in an encounter described by Mother Teresa when she spoke at the 1994 National Prayer Breakfast. She said that one evening she and her associates picked up four people from the street. She instructed the associates to take care of three of the people, and she would take care of the one who appeared to be in the worst condition. Mother Teresa said, I did all my love could do. I put her in bed, and she had a beautiful smile on her face. She took hold of my hand, and she said two words, thank you. Then she died. Mother Teresa went on to say, I would have tried to draw attention to myself. I would have said, I'm hungry, I'm dying, I'm in pain. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love. And she died with a smile on her face. Many of life's circumstances are beyond our control. And many of the circumstances with which we deal are undeserved. But also, life successes are God's gift to us. The person who thinks they pulled themselves up by their own bootstrap, the person who thinks that they did everything on their own, the person who thinks the long hours they put in are what made their success, no. Because God gave you the ability. God gave you the help. God gave you the mind. God gave you the opportunity. You had the good sense to take advantage of it. So even if you have been successful, they are God's gifts and undeserved blessings. So let us count our blessings. Let's name them one by one. And let us be amazed at what God has done. And in so doing, we will please God more. And we'll be happier people in the process. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you. Thank you for those blessings we can recognize, and thank you for the many blessings that we have been too busy to see. Gracious Lord, forgive us for when we vacillate towards self-centeredness, and help us daily to become more and more people, more and more to become people with an attitude of gratitude. Gracious Lord, when life is going our way, when life is going pleasantly, when life is going what we humanly consider good, may we not stop, may we not forget to stop and say thank you. And when life is tough, may we not forget to thank you for your grace to see it through. May we not forget to stop and thank you for your presence. May we not forget to stop and thank you for your strength. So Lord, whatever our individual life may look like in this moment, may you give us the heart to stop and count our blessings, to name them one by one, and to be truly amazed at what you have done. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar